The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're gonna get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
Cooley's here with a film breakdown. The show today is presented by, as it always is, Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Mention my name, you'll get a free estimate, and you'll get a great deal, which I will tell you about in a bit. But Window Nation, right now, a top five window retailer in the country. 96% of their installs go off without a hitch. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. You were a big hit last week. Not that you need to hear that, but, you know, people were excited after a 2-0 start. There was a lot of excitement about the 2-0 start and the win at Denver after being down 21-3. And then came Sunday against Buffalo. I still think people are going to be excited to hear what you say about the Buffalo game. But that was ugly, wasn't it?
It was so ugly, top to bottom. And it didn't have to be that ugly. It really wasn't. Well, it was. But, I mean, we'll just throw it. There's some opportunities that they could have scored. They had some chances to stay alive in the game. But, man, you talk about, it wasn't me that's a big hit. It's Howell a week ago. It was exciting to watch the kid play a week ago. Now, granted, Denver's defense gave up 70 this week.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that is the ultimate test.
Right. It does make you question a little bit the Denver, you know, explosion of 35 points. But, you know, the Raiders didn't do that to Denver. So there is that. Maybe Miami is a major outlier this year. It's possible.
I think Miami's really good on offense.
Yeah.
If Tua's healthy with their weapons, they have so much speed, and Mike McDaniel gets those guys playing fast, with speed, downfield concepts. Tough to cover them. And Tyreek Hill just adds that number one element that scares the life out of you.
They didn't even have Jalen Waddle.
For sure.
You know, they didn't even have Waddle in that game. Did you watch football last weekend or not? This past weekend.
I did watch football last weekend.
Okay. So what did you...
It was the first weekend I watched football.
What'd you watch?
I bought the YouTube package.
You did? So you paid the, like, $400 for it?
$400.
Yeah.
But it's like, we had DirecTV a year ago, which is fine. I just don't watch TV.
Right.
I really watched almost no TV. I wanted DirecTV so I could have the Sunday ticket.
Right.
So I didn't. Maddie was all concerned because she said, DirecTV is like $135 a month. I'm canceling this. And then they made her some great offer that was like $40 a month instead. So if you.
You're talking about DirecTV.
Yeah. So, and she's like, nah, I said, that's not. She said, that's not fair. I'm not doing that. Like, why? It became a great deal. We got to send all our stuff back. You're doing it 3 weeks before football starts. Just make it through the season a couple more months. That said, bought the YouTube package. I watched most of the Commanders game, which was thrilling. But I watched the Red Zone channel as that went off. And then some of the afternoon games, or the later games, for me, the afternoon games, which were not thrilling, you know, by any means. And then I didn't watch the Sunday night game, but I wanted to. I won money on the Sunday night game.
Yeah,
at Pittsburgh. But we had to watch Wii Bowl, or we had to play Wii Bowling.
Oh, you did? Wii Bowling? Well, that's a good family activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, real quickly on Miami, because I actually had referred to them after they beat the Chargers, because I watched some of that game. I'm like, that's could be this year the second coming of the greatest show on turf. I can't remember watching a team with that much speed everywhere. And by the way, they're fast on defense too. Like, they've got some really fast playmaking dudes on defense as well. But if Tua stays healthy, it's really – you can't say anything definitively after week three. And they're an underdog Sunday at Buffalo. They play at Buffalo.
Weird, huh?
A little bit weird, yeah, I guess, because of the 70. If they had just beaten Denver, it wouldn't have been weird. You know, if they'd beaten Denver 35-17, it wouldn't have been weird. But because they had 350 yards rushing and 376 yards passing, because they had 726 yards of offense and 70 points, and it could have been more, it's a little weird. But
got out of hand, though. Vegas knows that. It got out of hand.
It got out of hand. I mean, when you say got out of hand,
like, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you say got out of hand, like in a football game, it's like, oh my God, yeah, it ended up 38-10, but it really got out of hand late, 38-10. You know,
that's more like 49-10.
Okay,
46-10.
Yeah,
52-10. 70-10 really got out of hand. Really dropped the ball there on the defensive side in the second half. I mean, they had a chance, you know, to battle. It was always out of hand.
You know,
Denver's not very good.
You know, Washington plays Miami in early December. Miami's got – listen to this, Cooley, okay? They play Buffalo. This is like the – you know, for this season so far, this is one of the games of the year. They play the Chiefs in Germany in one of the international games on November 5th. I mean, think about it. The Germans got their first game last year, which I think was Brady in Tampa against Seattle. I think that was the game. And the second game, and apparently they love the NFL, they may be getting the NFL game of the year. Kansas City and Miami. What do you think the total in that game will be?
75?
No, those are college totals, but it'll be 60. It'll be 60, which is unheard of in the NFL. It'll be high 50s to low 60s.
What would it be this week?
This week,
Kansas City just steamrolled the Bears.
This week, if the game were being played, doesn't matter. Because the weather would, assuming it would be fine, the total would be 61. What is the highest ever over-under in an NFL game? I know we reached 60-plus at some point recently in the NFL, and I want to say it was a Rams game during the year they were scoring all those points. Here it is. The highest over-under line in a game, this is the first thing that popped up. Kansas City Rams, that Monday night game in 2018, it was 63.5, and that was the game that ended 54-51.
Should have made it 100.
Yeah, well, it still wouldn't have been enough.
Hope you didn't take the under. That was over in the second quarter.
Yeah. The Chiefs and the Rams in 2018, and then it looks like the Chiefs had another game. No, then the next one, the Rams, the greatest show on turf in 2000, the Rams in a game against somebody, the total was 63 as well. But 63.5 was the biggest total. So if Miami and Kansas City played this week, I think it would threaten the highest over-under total in the history of the game. It might be 64. Might be 64. So,
would you take the over?
Be hard not to. I mean, actually, if it were 64, I would take the over. But if I saw like a 57, then I'd go under. Because you know how I think.
Yeah. Well, neither team's going to slow the game down. They're both going to try to score. If they played this week, they're both going to try to score.
I think Miami's good defensively, though. I think they are better on defense than the Chiefs are. I mean, they gave up 34 to the Chargers in the opener, but my God, I mean, I don't know if you saw Justin Herbert's numbers from Sunday. He was 40 of 47 in a game. And I tried to find this, and I couldn't find it. If somebody has this, tweet it to me or DM it to me if you can. I don't know that I've ever seen an 85% plus completion percentage with 40 completions. Like, I've seen 40 out of 55 or 40 out of 57 or, you know, 40 out of 53. 40 out of 47 is 85 point something percent completion percentage. That's insane. All right. Some good NFL so far through the first 3 weeks. Interesting, you know, situations. Miami's obviously the story of the season through 3 weeks. Philly and San Francisco are both undefeated. Did you see any of Philly on Monday night?
No, I didn't watch the Philly game, but I did do the stupid parlay thing, and I meant to pick Pittsburgh. It was my last game, just as you're watching through the day. Like, I did a $40 bet on a four-game parlay. Two were lines. The other two were easy cover. Like, easy. Kansas City's just got to beat Buffalo to up your money a little bit. And I did win four-game parlay.
What was your four-game parlay? KC money line?
Minus five.
Eagles minus five.
Kansas City outright. The Dolphins outright. Arizona to cover, and I took Philly. But I meant to take Pittsburgh.
God damn it. You
messed up those Pennsylvania State.
I'm so pissed that I didn't give out Arizona. I played them personally. But I said on Friday's show, I said there's four big dogs, like near double-digit dogs, and one of them is a double-digit dog. And I'm like, one of them, maybe two of them, are going to win outright. And I chose Chicago to put into the smell test.
I took Chicago.
But you just said you took Kansas. Oh, you had Kansas City on the money line in this.
But in another, just a one offer, I took Chicago.
Right. I actually
That was over quick.
I had a brutal day Sunday. I had Denver. I had Washington. I had Carolina.
I had Carolina. I took Carolina. I liked Carolina. I actually hedged that halfway through and took the over though, so I broke even on that one.
I also had I played Arizona and Cleveland. They were the two winners. I had Washington on the money line. I had Denver, and I had Denver on the money line. I had two sides that were two of the biggest blowouts of the day. No, all three. What am I talking about? Not smell test wise, but Chicago I had in the smell test, Denver I had in the smell test, and I also played Washington. I had all three of those teams plus the points and on the money line. And I guess if I did this real quickly, 41 and 37 is 78, and 70 is 148 to 23. What did the Bears score? 148 to 33. My teams were outscored by 115 points.
It's the worst when it's over, too, in the second quarter. I mean, it's never really over with the points, but the Broncos was over. Washington was pretty much over.
Well, at least Denver scored early. At least Denver scored early. It was 21 to 10 or something. It was 14 to 7 or... Because I kept watching the scores pop up. All right, enough about that. Just before we get to what you've done film-wise, so you said something at the beginning, you know, and I said, what's your big takeaway, or as you like to say, your overarching theme? And you said it could have been better. Like they were. Did you say that you thought they were in the game?
Yeah, they're in the game. They're in the game in the third quarter. They're probably not going to beat Buffalo, but it's a two-score game in the third quarter. And they take the ball down the field.
You know, that's...
It wasn't – when you're watching it on film, Buffalo's getting every single third down in the first half. And Howell's not playing great. And they take it. They do take it down the field. They don't, and they get no points on a fourth and what? Fourth and one? Fourth and two?
Fourth and two. Fourth and goal to two, yeah.
Fourth and two. They get no points. They had opportunities. I actually thought in that moment, you almost with a rookie, you just take three and get some momentum back there. Get something on the board. Get going somehow. And he shit the bed on fourth and two. It was bad.
And we'll save that because obviously we want the whole Sam Howell breakdown. But I, first of all, just a pet peeve, because we all say it, and even I probably say it sometimes. 16 is not. It could be a two-score game, but you can't say
it is.
Well, no, it's not. It's probably not a two-score game. Because the average make on two-point conversions is 48%. So you're not probably going to make score two touchdowns and convert on two-point conversions. It's just like,
probably not, but can you?
You can. It could be a two-score game. But just, I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about a 7 or a 14-point or a 14-point game. Because there's no guarantee you're going to make the PAT. But we understand that that's 95%.
Percentage-wise. You should make it.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I bring it up is because Josh McDaniel took an absolute beating from everybody, especially the analytics people. Sunday night, all right, in the game that you bet Pittsburgh in, Sunday night they were down 23-7. They scored. They made a two-point conversion. It was 23-15. Then they had the ball back after stopping Pittsburgh for a second straight three and out. They drove down the field, and with 3.5 minutes to go on fourth down, he put his field goal team out there. There was a penalty on Pittsburgh. They got a first. They made the field goal, but there was a penalty on Pittsburgh. He put his offense back out on the field. They didn't get a first down, and then it was fourth down again, fourth and four with 2.5 minutes to go. They had all three timeouts left, and he kicked the field goal. So it was 23-18. He was asked about what happened. He said, why didn't you go for the fourth and four? It was a one-score game, and he said, no, it wasn't. It was a two-score game. Now, it didn't have to be a two-score game. There's a possibility they could tie it. But I think that too often people just view eight. Collinsworth, who drives me fucking crazy. I've had it. He's the worst.
There's a lot of them to do.
The worst. He said during the last drive at one point, the Raiders should be careful. They should try to score and not leave Pittsburgh any time. And I'm screaming, dude, what are you talking about? They're down by eight. They're not going for a walk-off win here. They're like, this is likely, you know, there's a 52% chance league-wide over the last 10 years, two-point conversions, a 52% chance this is a two-possession game for the team that you want to go down and leave no time left on the clock for the opponent. No, they'd be leaving no time on the clock for themselves.
That's if they do actually score.
If they score.
It's really like a what that they go score six and get a chance to go. It's like a 35% chance that they score a touchdown and get a PAT.
Right.
30%.
Yeah.
Let's go score now because we really might need the ball back.
Right. In fact, the odds favor we're going to need the ball back to win the game. Now, can I just mention, with 3:48 left or whatever and three timeouts and the way their defense had been playing, the context of the game, I actually didn't have a problem. It was fourth and six with him putting the field goal team out there at that moment. But with 2.5 minutes to go and the ball was at the 8-yard line and it was a fourth and four, I think he needed to go for that because even if they don't get it, he's going to have a chance to get the ball back one more time with his timeouts and the 2-minute warning to then do it. I think the problem is that with 2.5 minutes to go, you're literally one first down away from not getting the ball back. At 3.5 minutes with three timeouts and a 2-minute warning, depending on when you make the first down, it's at least two first downs that they're going to need for you not to get the ball back. And
no, and the other thing about this is I think it's an interesting decision if it's 4th and 4 on the 4, just because everything's so condensed. It's just such a tough.
It was 4th and 4 on the 8.
It's less than 48%. It's less than 48%. You're scoring from the 4, but 4th and 4 on the 8, it is condensed. But you got to understand, they're going to protect the end zone. They'll survive another set of downs.
Right.
To protect the end zone in that situation.
Sure.
So it increases your chance of getting 4 yards to then get a first down.
Mm.
They're going to protect the end zone for sure. So you can probably get 4 and get another set of downs. That's why I like going for it. Like, I don't mind going for it. With 2, whatever it was left, I'm definitely going for it.
Me too. In that spot, I am.
Just in the idea, like, even when your defense is playing great, like, say they come up in 3rd and 6, they throw a 3-yard flat route, and the guy just breaks the tackle, and the game's over.
Right.
That sucks, man. I'm not going to put it on a one-play deal. Like, with 3.5, like you said, where you get a chance to really stop them in 2 sets of downs, sure. But with 1, no. And especially from the 8, like I said, I think it's an interesting decision from the 4, just because that's a tough play.
Right.
From the 8, they are going to protect the end line.
Yeah, for me, it's just this idea that when you're down 8, it's a 1-score game. When you're down 16, it's a 2-score game. You know, when you get down 24, it's really not a 3-score game because you're just not going to, more likely than not, make 3 2-point conversions. And, of course, context is everything. If you got Mahomes or you got Allen or you got Herbert or you got Burrow and you got, you know, Jamar Chase and you got Tariq Hill, okay. But, you know, when you got Jimmy Garoppolo, not necessarily the case. But the other thing you said, I just never had the sense. You know, not all 16-0 games are the same. I didn't think that. I thought it felt much more like 30-0 than, say, 16-0 or 10-0. It just did not seem to me. Now, when they ran the ball a little bit on the first 2 drives of the second half, it gave me, like, some hope. Like, okay, I mean, they can't stop Brian Robinson Jr. He's averaging 7 yards a carry, and on these 2 drives, he's averaging like 12 yards a carry. Why don't we do this so we don't throw another interception or take another sack and see if this works? But then they dropped him back again 2 times in a row, sacked, interception, and then it was over. But even then, I'm like, Josh Allen's too good, man. Diggs is too good. And I love our defense, don't get me wrong. But really good offense and great quarterbacking, I think, is certainly, you know, it trumps great defense almost every time. But anyway, that was my point, is I did not feel really like it, like I was watching a game in which they could come back in, even though it was only 16-0.
No, they had chances. I mean, I think there were some things that they had some success with. It wasn't a pure just route. Buffalo's clearly better. You watch that game, and I don't think Washington wins very many times out of 10, if any.
Right.
But I don't know. They moved the ball at times and made some plays. They were able to run the ball. When I got done, I looked at the first half run stats. It's like Robinson, 5 carries, 22 yards. Now, granted, what they have, like 20 plays?
Yeah.
But I look at that game again and I think if you are Washington and you have some success running the ball, really the theory would be, to me, slow the game down. Stay alive. Your quarterback's a competitor. See if he can do something in the 3rd and 4th quarter, the 4th quarter of the game, where he's got some confidence.
Right.
But slow the game down a little bit against Buffalo. And they just didn't continue to run the ball.
There's so much I need to tell you because we have not talked since Sunday about some of the things that Rivera has said since the game on Sunday. But why don't we get to all that you've put together, and we will do that. Coming up next, let me tell you about the deal that Window Nation has going on right now. Right now, no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 full years. Plus, you can get up to 50% off all style windows. Bow bay, double hung, any style. Cooley knows what all of that means, by the way. Bow bay, double hung, any style. You'll save thousands on your new windows and your energy bills, all the while upgrading the look and feel of your home. Window Nation is one of the largest window retailers in America, and they've been one of the most successful because they do it right. Their average installer averages 16 years of experience with over 20,000 windows installed. They've installed over 2 million windows worldwide, 96% perfection, making them one of the top window companies in America. Only 4% of the time are they back out there for an update to their install. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com. Up to 50% off, no money down, no payments, no interest for 2 full years. You get a free estimate if you mention my name. You've got nothing to lose. Cooley's Film Breakdown when we come back right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get to Cooley's Film Breakdown, I just want to mention what MyBookie is doing for all of you, our listening audience. MyBookie wanted to celebrate Washington's 2-0 start. They reached out to me last week. They said, what can we do? They threw out a couple of options, and I picked the one that they are offering you because this is really something that most sports books never even come close to offering. They're offering a 110% deposit match on your first deposit. You more than double your money before you even place your first bet. So if you deposit $100, you're going to get an additional 110 put into your account. Up to $1,000, you're allowed to get 110% added to the account. Put in $1,000, you'll have $2,100 in your account before you make your first wager. Now, this offer is exclusive to my listeners only, and it's only available this week. Go to mybookie.ag, use my promo code KevinDC to grab this bonus. I don't care if you've got another place where you're currently betting. You'd be an idiot not to sign up and take this free money. And then have a place to comparison shop on point spreads, on totals, on money lines, on pricing. MyBookie's got sharp lines. They've got very, very good pricing in particular. Fair lines, I should say. MyBookie.ag, use my promo code KevinDC for a 110% deposit match on your first deposit. You only have this week to take advantage of the deal. I thank MyBookie for doing something. It was very nice for them to recognize the 2-0 start that's now 2-1 and want to do something for our listeners. MyBookie.ag, promo code KevinDC. All right, so what do you got? What'd you look at again? What are we doing here?
We're going to do the quarterback. We're going to look at third down defense, and you wanted to talk about EB.
Yeah,
took me a minute to figure that out, but I got to figure it out. So.
Good. I'm glad you figured it out.
Where Ernest Byner?
Let's start with Sam.
All right. Well, progressively, so we can go through the good quickly.
Okay.
but some of the good. Early underneath throws, I still think he's accurate. He can get the ball out on time. He can throw a ball down the field, too. He threw a deep ball down the field, down the left side, dropped it in the bucket.
To Samuel.
Third drive-ish. Yeah, to Samuel. Big time throw. Sprint. They come back with a sprint out, sprint right, and he throws a hook to Terry or a little out to Terry. Awesome. I think he can throw the ball on the move.
Yeah.
He can obviously scramble. He ends up having a big scramble on that drive. And then clearly they get down the field and they don't score. But I do see some accuracy. I do see a lot of confidence when he knows where his one read is. And I see some gamer in him. But that's where the good really ends in this game.
Right.
Obviously, there's some good throws. But you start in the first drive. And like this is on the quarterback. It's also really potentially some on the play caller. But like the first drive is indicative of this game. Robinson, 7-yard run. How complete to McLaurin, first down. Robinson, 5-yard run. How complete to McLaurin, 10 yards down the field. Boom, boom, first down, first down. You go with a run action shot, you get down the field, excellent throw to Turner, 21 yards, you're down the field, you're 25-yard line. Now you go run action again, and you take a sack. And it's like, dude, he misses the check. He's really, at that point, trying to force the ball down the field. He's not in real rhythm yet. Trying to push the ball down the field. I know he feels confidence. He misses the check down, takes the sack, and it's like, you got him. If you're not going to throw that check down, you got to get out of the pocket. Like, you can't just sit there, eyes down the field, waiting for it to come open. It's going to come open or it's not. You got to make that decision quicker. His decision is not quick enough with, is the downfield route going to come open? Is there a chance I'm going to be able to throw the ball? Because as soon as there's not, you have to come back underneath and throw the ball short. I like run action passes because it can actually act as almost a run if you throw a 2-yard check down. It still forces them to come up. So when you go back to a run action pass, they know you're going to throw it underneath. And the Bills are smart. They're like, dude, throw it underneath. We dare you. Don't think you're going to do it. Your eyes are downfield. You work downfield too long. We'll play soft. We'll give you some of these early check down throws. See if you can do it. See if you can beat us. And he's not going to. And so he ends up taking sacks. They come back, next play, sacked. He initially works the right side. It's a second 18 on the first drive. He initially works the right side. It's a speed out. He's got bad leverage to start. Like, from the snap, the DB is outside. The speed out should just be dead to the quarterback. Like, you could look at it. You could glance at it. And if that DB evens up with your receiver running out, you can stay with it. But he doesn't. There's no even up. You're off of it. Like, not even a half a second. Off of it. The hits to the backside, wide open.
Is that Samuel?
Instead of throwing it, he's trying to run. Well, like I said the time before, maybe move from the pocket. This time it's like, just go to number two. But he got to come off one quicker, and he didn't. And then really, I thought a third down, the third and 19 is horrendous. You're at the, 33-yard line.
You're in field goal range.
Or sorry, you're 34-yard line. You're in field goal range. It's third and 19. You do not have to be a hero on a third 19 on the first series of the game. He has got his tight end out in the flat, is an easy gain of 9 to 14 yards, and let's see what happens. I don't know if Bates is going to get it. I don't think Bates is going to get it. But it's going to put you back to the 23, 24-yard line. It's an easy field goal. Let's take some points. Let's have some success early. The Bills DB, 34, and I'm sorry I don't know names right now, 34 is taking away the deep fit route in the middle of the field from the jump. It's over.
43, Bernard.
You cannot just force a ball over his head. Like, I know, and the thing is like he's trying to make that throw. And he is 2 yards further up, 3 yards further up, or not there. It's an excellent throw. I get what he's doing with it. It's just you can't make that throw. Bernard takes it away all day. It's bad. Come back second drive.
Let me just interject real quickly because I want to ask you a question, and I don't want to lose this thought on the third and 19, because to me this is really poor situational football. Third and 19 in this league, we know, is a long shot at best, and that's even with the really good quarterbacks. And so what we see in this league when you're in field goal range is we see a draw, we see a bubble screen, we see, you know, a quick drop and a check down, get 10 yards, turn it into a chip shot field goal, 3-3. Don't you think that that's got to be with a young quarterback? And I'm not suggesting that this didn't happen. This has to be emphasized before the snap. We are not going for a first down here. You know, if something is wide open and they blow a coverage, fine. But what we really want is we want the check down and we're going to kick a field goal. Unless Bates breaks seven tackles and gets 19 yards.
And there's another side to this as well. And it's another way that you can explain it, because the NFL's changed drastically over the last 5-6 years on fourth down. Let's get 14 and see what happens.
Sure. Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Maybe you're maybe out of fourth and five
fourth
or fourth and
five.
Four. Yeah.
Let's put us in a situation where we might think about it.
Yep.
Let's give us an opportunity to think about it. But we can't take a sack and get put out of field goal range, and we certainly can't throw an interception when we have points. Like, you can't take points off the board. That is the thing that the quarterback cannot do. Not take points off the board. So that should have been eyes downfield. As soon as you feel Bernard taking away the route, that means your check down's open underneath. He's the underneath coverage. He's dropped into it. Throw the check down, see what Bates can get. Maybe he breaks three tackles, and it's a fourth and three. Maybe he gets 16. You can look at the play again. He's getting 10.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Promise you he's getting 10.
Yeah.
If he breaks a tackle, he's getting 13, 14. So let's just give it a chance. Like, we got to give it a chance. It's not, and the thing is, and he made three or four of these plays. They're wake up to NFL plays, and I don't hate that he did it in the fact that it, maybe he learns from it. But they are wake up to the NFL plays. This ain't college football where coverage is just shit. The guys key eyes, guys key routes, guys see things. Learn that, understand that. Comes back the next drive. And I think it's a second and nine, and I thought this was concerning. They run hitches on the outside and seams on the inside, which is a really simple concept. And if you have a single high safety or some form of three deep, or even potentially quarters, which Buffalo's not in, they're in cover two, you can throw the hitch outside. If you have a cover two or wide split safeties, you are throwing seams to check down. Those seams are going to bend inside the safeties all the way to what could even be a hard dig. They are going to cross the face of the inside safeties. So essentially, when you see split safeties with that look, you are looking at the underneath coverage to whatever side you want to work and saying, can I get the ball over the top of the underneath coverage to throw the seam? You're definitely not throwing the hitch. That's a fucking pick.
Yeah.
He throws the hitch out to Dotson, and it's like, this is an easy, easy Buffalo tells you we're playing two safeties. Work the seams. This is dumb. This one, first pick, he's going to learn. This is the kind of thing that frustrates me if I'm coaching. Like, what are we working? Why are we throwing a hitch out there?
Well, fortunately, he didn't throw it well, and it was incomplete.
Exactly. Then he takes a sack. With a coverage sack, coverage, rush. It wasn't all how. A lot of the sacks were, but this one wasn't. You get down in the next series where they get down the field. Havadi did a really good job getting them down the field. We talked about that. Get to a third and goal at the 2-yard line. They run an RPO. Terry McLaurin comes across in motion. 23 comes across in motion with him, but bells and goes soft off. The third and two is a walk-in, like, gimme touchdown if he just throws the RPO to Terry. They're in a stick, and Terry motions across, and nobody covers him in the flat. Nobody. It's a walk-in. Just need to throw the RPO. And then the fourth and two, I hate the fourth and two. This, again, it's like we have a rookie quarterback. I like the concept. Okay, it's just a little angle pass concept where you have flat and a corner out, and they're following it with the shallow cross on the backside underneath it. They're trying to pick to get the shallow cross open. Well, the corner route really is open. I think it's Dotson out on the corner. He really is your only immediate opportunity. He doesn't throw it. You go back and look at Howell again when you watch this play. One, it's a shitty fake to the back.
Right.
He's got nothing on the fake to the back. Now, keep in mind, they ran it on third and two, so you could run it here. But you got to at least hold them with the fake. But my problem really goes to, dude, it's fourth and two. Don't shit the bed and throw it away into the end zone, hoping somebody's going to go sliding into a ball. Run, move, find something, do something. This is where you can take a sack. This is where you can run and spin move and see what happens. You have to go off script here. You cannot just flail one out into the middle of the end zone where you're not within 4 yards of any receiver. It's unacceptable.
I mean, the pressure is obviously quick. I mean, Robinson Jr. does a terrible job.
Robinson Jr. does a terrible job, but that's the only actual pressure on the play.
Right.
Step up inside of it. Slide up. Move out to the right. Extend the play. He does have an opportunity to extend this play, in my opinion.
I think he does, too. I think it's not in the pocket. I think it's flushing right and getting around Robinson and who was
I'm fine
that
with that, so, but I also think with his ability to throw the ball, if he just throws the corner out, it's a touchdown. Dotson's got a step.
Can I just go back to third and goal for a second? You think Terry's open on the pass?
Watch it. He's coming. The motion guy comes. So here's what I think happens. I think what happens is that the trailer with his motion is going to come across, and they're going to combo the trailer with whoever's covering the receiver. I think it was probably Dotson that said running a stick route. I think they messed up the combo, and the Bills player over Dotson should have taken the flat, and 23 was going to play the hook right inside and would have sat with Dotson. They somehow messed up, I think, the combination between the two. And, yeah, I think Terry's open. I don't think the trailer's going with him. It's 2 yards. He's got plenty of room to throw it to the flat, and all Terry's got to do is put the ball over the goal line.
The other thing, too, is, you know, an RPO is he's got – just so everybody's clear, I've explained this before. That's an RPO is not a read option. That's quarterback running or running back running. The RPO is either you give it to the running back or you're throwing it, and you've got to throw it quickly because the linemen are blocking and you can't let them get downfield illegally. The box here is so loaded too. It's a condensed field. It's a short yardage situation. Understood. And that isn't necessarily what a quarterback is completely looking at the RPO. He's really looking to see whether or not the receiver is going to be open right away to throw it. I do think in watching this here in the All-22, he can get that to Terry. It's got to be one of those RPOs, Cooley, where he almost doesn't even fake it to Robinson. There's no even looking at Robinson. He's just throwing it out to Terry and leading him into the end zone.
I agree. Now, you also have to keep in mind one other thing.
What?
I don't know if anyone discussed this play. I don't know if it's an RPO.
Well, you said it was an RPO.
They might just have to stick flat. It looks like an RPO. You have two receivers on the backside running routes. Do I understand how they called it? No. Do I understand if Bieniemy said, hey, you're giving the ball to the back here? I don't know. I mean, they could just, instead of having receivers block, have them run routes. It looks RPO-ish. It would have worked very well throwing the ball to Terry in an RPO, but I can't tell you with 100% certainty that that's an actual RPO.
Yeah, I can't tell him looking at it either. The only thing that would be a giveaway that it is Terry immediately looks.
Looks.
You know,
right.
So Terry thinks there's a chance he's getting the ball.
And he knows he's open.
Yeah. Okay. And you went through the fourth and goal. And you didn't like the decision to go for it. I actually was okay with it. It was fourth and goal at the two. At that point, to your point, like, this wasn't the moment where I really thought they were in trouble. But because they had actually had some chunk plays and had moved the ball a little bit. And I don't know, like, even if they don't get it here, I love when our defense lines up against somebody, you know, deep in their own territory, and it was raining. And I remember at that moment, I'm like, I think I'd go for it right here. And I didn't have a problem with it. But you would have taken the three.
I think I've... Well, the percentage that you get a fourth and two with a rookie quarterback is actually 37%. So it.
You know what? You know what? You know what I hate though in these situations. I like when the field is spread. And I like when, you know, even empty with – and I with him, have we seen a quarterback draw yet in three games? I don't think we have. And I don't know. Was he being – yeah, exactly. Was he being spied on this play? I don't know. He's under center.
It's impossible.
He's under center, which almost to me is a dead giveaway that they're going to throw it with them. But anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, that is something we will talk about later today as well.
Okay.
Okay. That's essentially the first half. Well, he does have the pick again, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got another pick coming up.
The pick where he throws the ball late out in the flat. This is probably – so the next interception is probably both ways on the quarterback. You have an unblocked four-man rush. It's a zone blitz. There's zone pressure, but Buffalo's bringing four. So they bring a D tackle over the center. They bring a backer over the guard. And then they bring an outside rusher. And the outside rusher comes completely free. You had five to box four. Again, I don't know how they're calling their line slides or if they're just throwing hot. Because this is
right.
If you're not going to change your line slide, this is hot because you don't have enough to block this side.
Right. I was going to ask you that.
You got to bring your center. You got to bring your center the other way. You got to bring them the other way.
Or you keep
in
Gibson in.
The world I live in, where if you see even by alignment where Buffalo lined up, you just make it any L call, like Lucky, Las Vegas. Any L call would change your line slide from a right slide to a left slide. You just turn your center the other way. That's all they need to do. And that might be on the quarterback. I don't know if they're putting that on the quarterback or not. But that said, if you're throwing red seven hot route, that ball better be now. Hot route means he's unblocked. You have an unblocked free rusher if you're throwing a hot route. Unblocked. We cannot block this dude. That ball's got to be out. Welcome to the NFL. We're not going to sit here and say, this is what I think happened. I know he's coming off the left, but I still might be able to get the ball down the field a little bit. Oh, shit, I'm not going to. Let me throw it in the flat now. Oh, pick. It's unblocked. You're in a bad situation. Take a gain. Take a positive. It would have been a two-yard gain and he'd have gotten hit. But the ball wouldn't have been picked if he throws it right now.
It doesn't look like he knows there's going to be a free rusher.
Well, if you look at alignment, I mean, they're out-leveraged initially.
Does Gibson have any responsibility to pick up the free rusher?
No, it looks like they're in a scat or a five-man protection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I remember it right. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
If you look at Kansas City and Bienemy and Andy Reid over the last 10 years, they like five-man. They run a lot of five-man protection. They'll throw off. And then the other benefit to Kansas City is Travis Kelce would have been on that 5-yard stick route, and he would have sat and turned it inside, and Mahomes would have thrown the stick route to Kelce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He would have found a way to create space in a weirdly covered situation, and that ball would have went to Kelce inside with Mahomes.
I want to just point one other thing out on this play, too, because I didn't in my recap. You know, there's a free rusher. The throw's a bad throw because he's getting hit. It's also a bad throw, Cooley, I think. He is a smallish quarterback. Let's not beat around the bush here. All right, there are bigger men, and he has to throw over them. So he's got to throw hot, and it's got to be out right away, and that makes the free rushers, you know, the free rusher's attempt, you know, it eliminates that because the ball's already out. But the ball is thrown inaccurately because he can't see. Can't throw it over him.
Right.
And by the way, Micah Hyde is one of the best, you know, playmakers anticipating. You know, that's why he's got so many big plays in his career, because it's not because he's super fast. But it's a terrible throw because he can't see over the guy. So anyway, I wanted to just point that out. Because Gibson, even though he doesn't hit him late, it doesn't hit him early on the hot route, it doesn't mean that it needs to end in a pick.
No, if you have any concern that Micah Hyde's going to have a chance to play the ball, throw it over his head out of bounds.
Right.
He doesn't, though, have a concern, which is a problem.
Right.
He thinks he can still throw that ball. May react fast up here, Joe would say. Yeah. You know, up here.
Up here. Up here in the league.
Up here in the league. They will react. They will react fast.
All right. What else? What's next?
We'll get to his next pick. You know, the other thing is they take the ball down the field in the third quarter. Right.
Running the football. Mm-hmm. Interesting that they were running it so
well. Yeah, I know. And you get to a second and eight, and you're trying to run a post route with Bates and then an out and up with Samuel. Will be it. The out and up never has a chance to win. The DB never bites on the out. Now, maybe he's trying to throw it out up and then seam it inside. But really, it's a throw you can't make. Now, the one thing I will say about this, Samuel can score here. He just sits and waits for the ball. He lets the DB pick it. This should be contested, a breakup, or an offensive touchdown. Come back to the goddamn ball. Like, help your guy. I don't like the throw. I don't think it's a good idea. But Samuel does nothing to attack the ball. It's either he's trying to throw it with some pressure inside and lead his receiver back inside where he can go get it, or he's trying to almost set him down on the goal line, like a back shoulder, but an inside shoulder. Either way, I don't like the throw. It's still on the quarterback. But your receiver, I promise, I'm 41. Dude ain't picking that ball off. Like, I will at least go attack that ball.
That is Tre'Davious White. He's pretty good.
He is pretty good, but watch the play and tell me that Samuel can't go attack the ball or at least make him break it up.
I just think he's got forward momentum going where, you know, I don't know.
Oh, my God. He's about as shifty as it gets NFL phenomenal athlete.
All right. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. What I want to ask you on this interception is what were his options?
Run. It was right now. Like, I'm telling you right now, run.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or work the other. Or as soon as you don't, like, as soon as that. I should have kept this in front of me, but I'm not at home. As soon as that out and up, as soon as the corner doesn't take any of the bait on the out, which he doesn't, he's soft, work the other side of the field to run.
Yeah, it's such a great point.
Second eight. Like, we can't throw a pick here.
And the whole left side.
It's a great play by White. It's a great play by White, but work the other side. By the way, also on this drive, they did have an RPO. With the two hitch on the left side, and he gave it to the back. Again, what I think is an RPO. The nickel plays run all the way. The inside hitch is wide open, throw the RPO. He missed that. I thought he made a lot of back foot throws. I think he rushed everything. He is out of rhythm. He is rushing everything he's doing at this point in the game. Which makes sense, because you come back after an interception and you go sack, sack. Now, the second sack of the next drive, the great tackles beat. He has a chance for the ball to come out underneath right now. 3-4 yard gains. Boom, boom. Ball out. Got to come out.
What bothered
me? Then he throws the last pick.
Real quickly on that drive, what bothered me is that the drive starts off with Robinson for 7, Robinson for 13, and then, you know, he had already had some big runs on the first drive that ended in interception. It's clear now that your quarterback is either holding it too long or the offensive line. We'll get to all of that here coming up. But you got a problem dropping him back. I hated that. I wanted to see. I didn't think at 16-0 at that point that they could win the game. I felt like it should have been more than 16-0. But it's like, if you're going to get back into it, you're not going to get back into it dropping him back. Not if he's going to just keep taking sack after sack after sack. And I just thought, I thought Robinson rips off 20 yards in two runs. It's like, let's keep going.
Let's just keep running the ball. And it's where your defense kept you alive for a couple drives in the second half.
Yeah.
So now we go back to, let's just score three on fourth and two. Let's not throw a pick down in field goal range again, and we're at 16-6. Now, is that a two-score game? Depends on what kind of scores, I guess.
Are you talking – they're
only getting field goals. It's a four-score game.
Yeah, but are we now on the next drive that ends with the Gibson fumble?
Well, then the Gibson fumble kills you. I mean, I got that, but
because they eventually, when he got sacked after they ran on the second drive of the third quarter, Robinson rips off a couple of runs, and then it's sacks, you know, whatever, and punt. And then
you come back and you fumble.
Yeah, and then Washington got the fourth down stop when Daron Payne knocked down Josh Allen's pass. I think that was the next drive. And then Gibson fumbles on that next drive, and then by the time you get the ball back next, it's 23-0. And there's right. there's another interception.
And then the last interception is just such another welcome to the NFL moment. Yeah, what a play though.
True.
Right.
Athletic, yes.
I mean, you don't see that play very often. And Howell's trying to jump and throw it over him, and you can see he's vertically challenged on the throw. The crazy thing is, on that third and five, can he not just run for the first down? If he's out of the pocket, he usually makes one miss. Just run.
Well,
you know, the old pump fake works really good, too. Like that pump, if he would have pumped that ball, that dude was going hands up 8 feet in the air, 9, 10 feet in the air. Pump it and go.
I think your point, though, it's such a great – like, on Monday I said, look, this is a, you know, 1 or 2 out of 10 play that's made. However, it's still not a good decision – when the dude's 6'6" and was a basketball player and has some hops. So I don't know that he can run for the 5 yards, but he certainly wasn't going to throw it over him.
No one else is going to tackle him inside of 5 yards.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, is it's not a bad decision. I don't hate the decision. It's a poor execution in the situation. Like, the guy's open. He's just got to get the ball over somebody who's got a 38-inch vertical and 6'6". I mean, do I think in that moment, Howell has the ability to process? So he had a 38-inch vertical, and he's 6'6", and he's going to jump and bat this ball down into his own hands like a cat, and then catch it, and also not even just that, he'll just finish with a pick six. Like in that moment, no, I was like, just get it over him. Come on, get over him. Like, it's not the worst decision. His guy's open. It's off script. He's not a terrible idea. It doesn't work.
Yeah, to me, it's like, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, people, please. But it had been such a rough day already. And to me, like, it's like when you watch, like, UL Monroe play, you know, an SEC team like Auburn or something like that, and you got just a smaller kind of quarterback playing big men who are athletic, and those things happen all the time in those games. And it just that's the thing that I don't think I've said it this week. I loved what he did in Denver. Don't get me wrong. He looked small in this game to me, and maybe he was shrinking throughout the game because he kept getting hit. I mean, I don't know if you know these numbers. He was sacked 9 times. First of all, nine sacks and 4 interceptions. First time it's happened in 28 years in the NFL that a quarterback's been sacked 9 times and thrown 4 picks. It was the second most pressures on a quarterback percentage-wise of the attempts since Next Gen started to keep this stat. He was hit 15 times. And it just seemed as the game went on, it was plucky, try-hard guy, and I love that about Sam. Love that about Taylor, too. And he's got a much different, you know, physical ability than Taylor. I'm not comping the two at all. I mean, he can throw the football. He can really throw the football. But, man, he looked small at the end. And on this play, it looked like UL Monroe against Auburn's defense.
Exactly what it looked like. I still, like, I don't, this game doesn't turn me off of Howell. I think this is a great learning moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go through the picks. The first one, bad. I mean, we understand that. The second one, to the flat, you can't make that throw. It's the right guy, it's just the wrong timing. The third one, I don't like the throw. Could have been an incomplete pass in a lot of situations. And then the fourth one is, again, like, they're not just, he's not just back there just lost. He's got a concept. He's got some idea of what he's doing. He's struggling some. And he's got to learn what he can and can't do in the NFL. Because we're not playing Louisiana Monroe this week.
Right.
You know, there's no Arkansas State other than Denver might be. So, I didn't feel like he was lost. You know, out of the 9 sacks, probably 6 of them were on him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So you think 6 of them? But
they're not good up front.
Right.
But here's the other crazy thing with your stats, which has never happened. I guarantee you it's never happened when a back has at least 10 carries and averages 7 yards a carry, which should lead us right to Bienemy.
Right, which I want to get to. The other thing, too, is the reason you typically don't see 9 sacks and 4 interceptions is that a quarterback is taking the sacks to avoid throwing the interceptions. They both, yeah. You know, it just, that doesn't happen a lot. Usually it's like, oh, my God, he took so many sacks. Like Carson Wentz got sacked 9 times last year against the Eagles. Well, it's because he didn't want to throw picks. And so... So real quickly, before we get to Bienemy, because I did ask you to evaluate Bienemy as well. So was that just a random number that you threw out there, or of the 9 sacks, did you actually, you know, make notes that 6 of them were on Sam?
I didn't make notes on the last few sacks because you go to the next drive after the pick 6 and he gets sacked twice in a row.
Would you have pulled him in the game?
No. I didn't ever think he was bad enough that you should pull him.
It wasn't about being bad enough. It was about taking a beating.
No.
It was about taking a beating.
No. He's going to take a beating and learn. He looks capable of taking the beating. You know, the biggest beating was on the 3rd and 18 square, the scramble for 18 yards where he doesn't want to get down.
I know.
Like, excellent scramble. And, you know, as you write that down and you're watching it in real time, you're like, dude, you can't take that hit. You've got the first down. The inside of it is you're probably not going to score on 4th and 2, so you might as well try to get it in now.
I guess, but that was creating 1st and goal. I mean, to your point.
No, he's got to get down. The first down was, what was the down and distance on that? Like 3rd and 2, something like that?
On the scramble for the first down? Yeah, something like that. I'll look it up right now. I felt the same way. First of all, it was another, you know, near sack. I mean, he just got out of it. But it was
by the way, he had a throw in front of him. It was good to not throw deep to the right. He had like a post corner concept to the right. But the shallow cross.
It was a 2nd and 1 that he scrambled on. So they dropped him back on 2nd and 1.
Right in front of him. He could have thrown the ball.
Okay. But, man.
But I'm fine.
He took a beating. But can
no,
I just.
He took a beating. Yeah. Yeah.
2nd and 1, like, he very easily and perhaps should have been sacked. He made a great play to avoid it. But it's like, what are we doing here? Well, I mean.
No. No. He should have been sacked. He should have thrown the shallow cross for first down. It should have just been ball out to the crosser.
Okay.
At 4 yards in front of his face.
So this seems to bother you as much as anything else, is the things that he missed and the misreads.
So here's where I'm fine with this, with the rookie quarterback, and I will go back to Kyle Shanahan and with a great year with Robert Griffin. Read your first concept. If you don't like it and you don't feel comfortable getting to number three, run. Run now. Become your own check down. But how can slide?
Yeah.
So when you run now, you better slide. He's trying. He could see the end zone, man. He was trying to score.
It was a great run. I mean, I'm watching it right here again, and it's like he's a baller, man, and he does make people miss, but it was very close to being – I mean, he's lucky he's not sacked. And by the way, it's then third and 10 from second and one, and you're putting it on him because he did have the shallow cross open, but what a run. What a great run. And then he takes a pounding at the end. The UL Monroe quarterback took an absolute pounding by the big, bad Georgia defense at the end of that.
I mean, he got smoked at the end of it. Probably don't want to do that one again.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. But watch that scramble and then tell me on the last pick that he doesn't find a way to get 5 yards.
Yeah.
You can make dudes miss.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, maybe he only gets four and you go for it on fourth and one. All right.
I mean, up here, they can tackle too. So,
what was Sam's grade?
Oh, it's in the D range for sure. I wouldn't call this a fail by any means. Like, he passed. It just wasn't good.
I gave it an F.
Yeah, a lot of red marks on his paper.
I gave it an F. But the good news is he had an A last week, so we're still alive in the class.
We're alive in the class. I guess my point is
I know what you're saying.
I think there's a
ton
of mistakes,
plays.
But I think that there's but even in the mistakes, I think there's a lot to learn. I think he'll learn a lot from this. By the way, speaking of learning and things, one of my favorite things I've heard in football this week. I love Deion Sanders as a head coach.
Me too.
I love him.
Yeah.
His guys love him. I love him. But my favorite thing, I watched his press conference after that Colorado game.
So did I.
And he's asked, did you think you guys needed this to humble you? Did you think you needed this to learn from? And he said, do you think you need to get hit by a car?
Exactly.
Like,
when you're driving fast.
We didn't need to. Yeah. We can find ways to humble ourselves and other. We can learn from good things. Like, you're bouncing along all cocky. Do you think you need to get run over by a car? No.
Exactly.
Don't need to get run over by a car, do you? We didn't need to lose.
He's very quick on his feet. Very quick on his feet.
I'm buying a Colorado Buffaloes hat. I love Deion. They're going to be good, too. He's going to be good.
Well, you saw the end of that press conference, right, where he said,
"I watched.
You better get me now. You better get me now because this is the worst we're going to be."
Yeah, he's keeping receipts.
And then, by the way, yesterday he was asked about this five-star corner, Cormani McClain. Cormani McClain flipped his recruitment from Miami to Colorado when Deion got the job. He hasn't played yet, and Deion was asked about it again, and he went off and I'll play it at the end of the show for everybody when we trail out. But he basically said, well, when he starts showing up to meetings on time, when he starts watching film, when he starts taking football seriously, when it starts to matter to him, then we can start putting him on the field. He said, but I know how much film everybody's watching. And if I were to put him on the field with as much film as he's watching, I'd be the fool. I mean, to me, like, I listened to that. I played it this morning on radio, and I'm like, if I'm the father of that Cormani McClain, I'm on the phone with him saying, this is the guy you not only want to play for, you're going to play for, and you better start watching some goddamn film and doing what he tells you to do. Because you're blowing it. Now, whether or not it needed to be public or not, I don't know. I just, he's the kind of guy, for me, if my son's a five-star player, I'm definitely going on that recruiting trip. He's going on that recruiting trip. Cooley, he's going to have top 3 to 5 recruiting classes for the next couple of years. They better get him now. They better get him now because they're not good enough for the Oregons and the USCs and the really good teams. Not yet, but in a couple of years they're going to be.
They think they are because of him.
I know.
Not because he's their coach, because he makes them believe that they are.
Yeah, but
I love him.
That was an absolute ass kicking. I mean, they had no chance. And their best player didn't play, but it doesn't matter. They had no chance. Oregon's at a different level than Colorado right now. But if he stayed, by the way, one of the questions is if he stays there, because a lot of people think he'll end up in the SEC next year within 2 years.
He's not going to stay there.
By the way, I think he's more of a college coach than an NFL coach. What do you think?
I think he could transcend to do whatever he wanted to do. He seems like a very good manager of a team.
All right, let's get to Eric Bieniemy and whatever else you have in your notebook. We'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Football season, we're into it. And if you're looking for a spot to watch your favorite teams, head to Due South Dockside in Navy Yard, right on the Capitol Riverfront Boardwalk. Stock bar, draft beer, a menu full of Due South House smoked barbecue favorites. Their barbecue is excellent. Their waterside location is the perfect place to gather all season long or to host your next event. Go on down, do the queue at Due South. Menus and more at DueSouthDC.com. This is one of Bo Blair's many places, the Bullpen, Jetties, Millie's, one of the best restaurant tours we've ever had in this town. Due South DC is excellent, and it's a great place to go down, hang out with friends, and watch games. DueSouthDC.com. From Victor, Kevin, Cooley, more Cooley, more and more Cooley, like Window Nation says, and then more Cooley after that. Yeah, Window Nation's deal is we've got more and even more than more nowadays. Yeah, I think we're going to try to pull that off. Chris is, I think, back and engaged into the season here for the second straight week. So we're excited about that. Don't forget to rate us and review us, especially on Apple and Spotify. A 5-star review if you see fit. Quick 1 to 2 sentence review, 5-star rating, excuse me. A quick 1 to 2 sentence review is huge for us. Don't forget to follow us as well on Apple and Spotify and subscribe to the podcast where they allow you to do that. All right. I asked you to give me a film breakdown of Sam Howell, which you just did. I also asked for your thoughts on the game that Eric Bieniemy called, because last week you raved about it. I think everybody did. What did you think this week?
So I think that he got away from the rhythm of the game plan that he probably intended. Now, some of the good stuff, I like some of the creative stuff in terms of how he's running the ball. I like some of the things he mixes in. Like early in the game, they run what's like a split zone. So the running back, it's a zone run play. Bring the tight end across the backside to block the backside defensive end. But you also use this fly sweep motion to hold the front side outside. So you really create a cutback lane. But he's got some good stuff in the run game. He's got some good stuff throwing the ball down the field. Like the first down the field throw to Bates is kind of that, like the receiver on the outside right running vertically towards the goalpost and then ends up sitting down. And Bates kind of runs inside of him, but then Bananas back out and he's wide open. Like they got some stuff that he definitely knows what he's doing as far as play creation. I will give him that. What I didn't like about this game plan is probably that some of it got away from him. The quarterback really never got going. And if you look at the Denver game, I was so complimentary of how many screens they ran.
Right.
They had zero. I'm pretty sure they had zero first half screen plays. Zero. And they end up on a 3rd and 22 running a screen and get what, like 18 yards, which was called back by a penalty.
Right, that one. Yep.
And then they come back and they throw a screen to Gibson, and this is where Bienemy's like, shut the fuck up, Cooley. We're on a screen, our guy fumbles. But they really didn't mix up Buffalo's defensive line rhythm and the rhythm to get after the quarterback. They put Howell in a dropback situation, static for most of the game. And you can't even look like they one sprint right, and it's a completion to Terry. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're going to sprint out 14 times in a game. That's unrealistic. But moving the pocket for your quarterback's really beneficial. They had zero boot action, and I don't think there was any boot. There's no screens. There's no like early gimmick play. They pop it out to McLaurin. Let's just see if we can get him going for four. No bubble stuff. Just no simple, easy throws, easy rhythm quarterback get-on-the-move throws, easy rhythm screen throws. It was static. It was static throughout the game. And I said he could have run the ball much more. So I think my bet to you, Kevin, would be he probably wishes he could recall the game. They probably had some stuff he didn't get to. And he would say, well, yeah, we ran 22 plays in the first half. So, yeah, I had some stuff I wanted to get to, and we just didn't get to it. Like, we got to complete third downs. We were 1 for 9 in third down conversions. Yeah, we got to be able to move the sticks to get to another set of downs. I didn't love the way it was called. It was just bad offensively. I think he struggles a lot. I think they struggle a lot with the offensive line. And like, some of the run stuff, like when they're trying to go gun zone run stuff, it's not good. They are not getting enough push up front to get good run stuff. But that said, Robinson's excellent at finding ways to get yards in tight spaces.
Right.
And then one more thought, and then you would have to go add this up, but this is just a feel thing because I didn't count this. When Robinson's out of the game and Gibson's in the game, if I'm coaching against them in a first and second down situation, I'm yelling play action. Gibson had 2 carries.
Yeah.
He's in the game on at least 5 or 6 run action passes early in the game.
He actually,
I know they want him in as a
kick. He had more snaps. He had more snaps in the game than Robinson. Only had 20 of the 54 snaps. Gibson had, hold on, where are my notes here from
the
Gibson's other day?
Not getting the carries.
I know.
Robinson
right.
is getting the carries.
I know. Yeah, the Robinson 20 snaps, Gibson 33. Yes.
They're also in a lot more pass situations in this game, especially in the second half.
Right. I'm going to wait to ask you a question or two and mention what
you
we said
You can ask me
week.
Now, but my point would be take into account relevant rundowns in the game. 1st and 10, 2nd and 5, 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7. Real relevant 50-50 downs. And then I would say in those relevant 50-50 downs, you're probably 80% of your run action passes with Gibson, 75, 70, something like that. I could be wrong. It just felt that way.
Okay.
It felt that way last week, too. So I'd be careful with that. But like I said, I think the game got away from him in terms of his game plan. Like, I wouldn't say that they just reverted to day one offense, but which I've seen teams have to do. I think he tried to stick with what they practiced and what they went through, but his rhythm wasn't there. There wasn't a rhythm for Hal. Bienemy didn't stay in rhythm. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way the quarterback played. I didn't like the way the offensive coordinator called it. And I just think that they have enough talent around that quarterback that you just got to get the ball out of his hands quick. Find ways. One-man shows, create things, create rhythm. He did not do that.
I think one of the reasons we didn't see as many screens this week is that Buffalo is faster, smarter than Denver, and they played the screen last week against the Raiders a few times very well. And the fact that they had run so many screens in Denver, they probably went away from that tendency. But they were very effective plays in Denver. That's my guess, because I talked about this on Friday, that Buffalo was going to be a harder team to screen than Denver was, because I watched the Raiders game and they were not effective with screens. You said earlier that you know, he's not taking the check down early enough. And then you also said, which I remember you saying specifically about Robert way back in the day, the check down needs to be him. He's got to go one read, and if it's not there, we're going check down, and the check down's him running, because if not, there's probably going to be a bad result, but the run could be a very good result. These, to me, like the check downs especially, look, they've got receivers that threaten a defense. So a lot of these check downs that I've seen that he hasn't taken, remember he had one last week on a third down that they were off the field on, or they kicked a field goal on.
They're wide open.
And Gibson was wide open on the check down. Like, to me, I would think this is a very fixable thing. Right?
I think it's a very fixable thing as well. I think it's a – what tells you the down-the-field throw is dead? And how can we – how can we understand that a half a second quicker? Like, you're looking at safety placement. You're looking at where corners are filling. You're looking at underneath, like, depending on the concept. You're looking at like underneath coverage. You're usually working half the field. Like, what tells you it's dead? And how do we understand, hey, this has got no legs, so get off it. There's got to be a tail for him. He's just seeing a lot right now, Kev. And the thing is he knows he can throw the ball down the field. And I know he can throw the ball down the field. And it's fun to throw the ball down the field. But at some point, you got to know it's dead. And he just doesn't yet.
Who specifically, if somebody did stand out, did you think struggled the most on the offensive line?
Oh, I just don't think they're effective as a group up front. I don't know. Cosme didn't look like he played incredibly well. I just don't see him as like a stout, consistent offensive line. I think it's like C minus across the board.
I just think this guy. Wiley's
terrible. I'm not sitting and grading every player. I'm watching.
I know.
Like, I'm lazy film watching right now. Like, I'm watching the quarterback and thinking about the play call.
I know. Maybe next week, if there are more sacks, I'll ask you to do the O-line. So I wanted to...
There's going
to
be more sacks.
I wanted to mention to you that Rivera this week had some interesting comments, which he always does. He just talks too much, period. But after the game, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just going to paraphrase. He was talking about Sam, and he said, look, we have to evaluate what we're doing as well. And then next, we'll get to the evaluation of the players. What that said to me, and I believe it's actually what he meant, is that we can't be at this 4-5-1, 5-1 ratio in pass to run. I mean, it's 36-7 in Denver. I didn't have a problem with it. You didn't have a problem with it. It worked. Arizona in the first half, it didn't work, and that game was at risk. And this week, you know, it was 17-5 in the first half in terms of called pass plays to run. So I think Ron is going to say to Eric, look, we can't have, you know, a quarterback at he's at a record pace for sacks, the sacks and combined turnovers, the sacks at a record pace, most sacks ever in the first 3 weeks of a season, or since 2005, David Carr in Houston. And so to me, that means we got a guy that was averaging 7 yards per carry, and he's been a load to bring down. We got to be a little bit more balanced. What do you think it meant? You didn't hear it, but I just shared it with you. Do you think?
Well, I think Ron's definitely suggesting that they need to be more balanced. Think back to the end of last year before the offensive coordinator search, where he basically suggested we want to run the ball 80% of the time.
I know, but that changed.
But here's the crazy thing about it is, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm basically like taking the back of my hand and flipping my chin at it. Like, nah. This is my job to be the offensive coordinator, and I got an opportunity to show what I can do with a young quarterback in developing an offense. And I'm not going to pound my head against the fucking wall running the ball. Now, they did run the ball effectively, but I don't know how that goes through the year.
So this...
I think it's a good conversation early to have is, hey, look, we got to find a way to stay more balanced. But at the same time, you literally, if you're Eric Bieniemy and you went and watched the film of this game, it's like telling a receiver not to drop the ball.
Right, like he should be able to come to that conclusion.
Very, very simple conclusion. We needed to stay more balanced running the ball. We needed to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quicker. Granted, Buffalo plays a screen great, but there are so many different kinds of screens and different kinds of things you can create that are essentially screens. They're not always three linemen letting two defensive linemen through and then turn. It's not the old school. There's a lot of versatility that they didn't utilize this week against Buffalo that they showed on film last week against Denver.
So there's
you got to get your quarterback comfortable, and if more running is good early, if boots good, if screens are good, like they didn't boot, they didn't screen, they didn't move their quarterback, they didn't change the location of their quarterback, they set him back in the pocket and let him take a fucking beating.
Right.
With a I think is a C minus offensive line. Now he ain't Joe Montana. And he ain't Patrick Mahomes, so we can't just sit back and throw 5 to 7 yard stick routes. By the way, the other thing Buffalo did a really good job of is anytime that there were a short to mid-range complementary route, they took away the mid-range and said, throw the short route. We are not giving you the ball 10 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Throw the short one.
Yeah, remember I asked you last week if people in the Denver game, I felt like people were open, Dotson in particular, for the first 2 weeks. But when I watched the All-22, to get ready for you, I noticed that they were covered well for a lot of this game.
The receivers were covered very well. They did not get open.
Yeah.
A lot of guys were not open.
Yeah.
A couple of the sacks were combined coverage sacks. I will agree with that.
The other thing Ron said this week on Monday, the day after the game, and this to me is the most interesting, and Tommy and I spent some time on this yesterday, because I've had this hunch that this is all about, that a big part of what they're doing offensively is they're developing Sam, you know? And that's what a big part of this season is about. And by the way, for Bieniemy to kind of, you know, put his stamp on the kind of offense he wants to be. He comes from Andy Reid. Andy Reid's heavy pass to run ratio. And so Ron said, you know, he talked about, you know, giving him time to grow and develop. And then he was asked about the run game on Sunday and should they have leaned on it. And he said, well, in hindsight 2020 is okay. Yeah. And then in that answer, he said, again, the one thing we do talk about is just trying to get the opportunity for Sam. The game was close all the way up to a certain point, could have come together. And then there was a follow-up question on, is it more about getting Hal the experience, or is it, you know, doing what you need to do to try to win the game, or was it because you were down by a bunch you were throwing it? And he said, I think it's a combination of both. He said, the sooner we really feel like he develops and grows, the more opportunities we're going to get. He's a very young player. I know he's a second-year player, but this is only his fourth game, so there is leniency with that. There's a little bit of growing pains that we're going to have to deal with, et cetera, et cetera. So I would ask you, like, if you were on this team and you believed in Sam, because the players certainly seem to believe in Sam, but this isn't like Dwayne Haskins. It's not Dwayne Haskins.
No.
For a number of reasons. But beyond that, it wasn't a good team either. This is a good team. This is a good roster. They've got good defense. They got a good defense. They've got a top 10 kind of a defense. They have some skill position players that are good. With decent quarterback play, this could be a 9 or 10 win team. Not a championship contender, but a playoff team in the NFC. So what I'm asking you is, would there be a point as a player where the focus on developing the young quarterback as a priority would bother you?
Yeah. No doubt that bothered me if I'm Jonathan Allen 2 years ago when we can't find a quarterback. It would continue to bother me today. I would understand where we're at today, but yeah, does it bother me that I had 9 starting quarterbacks when I played and we switched offenses 4 times? Yeah, hated it. It does, but it's not just – this is where they are now. They have Howell. Who were they going to – I mean, they could have got Baker. Where were you going to get a quarterback? The problem is you start as the head coach without a quarterback. Your primary goal is to find one, not to be starting a 5th-round draft pick rookie 4 years later who you need to develop.
5th-round. But
you're way late on it. You're way too late to the party here.
But if you're John Allen and you believe in Sam, like you believe that it makes sense to develop him and wait it out and be patient because it's going to produce a big payoff at the end, are you willing to go through these growing pain games where you're getting your ass kicked and the defense, you know, whatever. Josh Allen made some plays in this game. I'm not saying the defense was great in the game. Certainly weren't on 3rd down. But what if you believe in Sam as a defense, as Terry McLaurin or as John Allen? Are you then willing to stick it out here? You're under contract for a few years.
This is where I am, Kev. If I'm a player right now, like this is where I'm at.
Well, Jacoby Brissett is a veteran that, you know, is more of a known and played pretty well last year in Cleveland. They didn't get it done, okay? They didn't have the same defense that they have this year. My God, have you seen the Cleveland defense this year? But whatever, you answered the question.
I'm fine with it. You thought he was an awful quarterback performance. Anyone that watched it can see it was an awful quarterback performance. My suggestion is that I see a guy that can grow through a poor quarterback performance. Did he need to get run over by a car? No. Did he? Yes. He got run over by a car. He's fine. Needs to look both ways before he crosses the street next time. Like, he's not blind in his right eye. I don't see a guy that's just dead out there. It's not. I don't see that either.
He was great last week. Trust me, I made this very clear on Monday.
If I'm John Allen, or if I'm, I better have my defensive minded head coach find a way to get off the fucking field on 3rd down.
Right.
Because they got their ass kicked on 3rd down.
Right. Did they get their ass kicked on 3rd down because of them or because of Josh Allen and Steph Diggs in Buffalo?
Because of them.
Tell me why.
They tried multiple different things. You want to go through? Let's go through the 3rd downs.
Okay.
First 3rd and 10 after 2 big defensive stops. They played 2-man. Remember that Allen can run. There's nobody
Everybody knows that. Even
eyes on Allen. I'm not sure what Chase Young is doing on that play. He gets chipped by the tight end, and then he's just slowly wandering up the field, and Allen's running.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I mean, Payne was close to a sack, but that is Allen. But, like, we need to replace. We need to have rush integrity. If we're going to play 2-man, we're going to play straight 2-man. 2 safeties deep, man everybody else. We better have some rush lane integrity.
So was it Chase?
Third and 8 after
so was it
stops,
Chase that same. Didn't have the rush lane integrity?
I don't know what Chase is doing. It's hard to say. I mean, not sure. Gets hit by a tight end and just gets lost. 3rd and 8 after 2 more good stops. Sweat misses a sack. The old pump fake got him. Now Diggs is off script. Like, okay, yeah, it is Allen, but it's Montez Sweat. Just go sack him. He had a chance to just go hit him. Fell for the old pump faker.
That was a great throw.
You know, 3rd and 9, they end up getting the stop after Knox really dropped a touchdown on a.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
On a really good throw. They hold him to a field goal. 3rd and 2 on the second drive. They don't squeeze an in and out on the slot. They run like that little whip in and out. Cameron Curl and old 57 just sit there and let him sit right in the middle of them.
Burton.
You know? they do get off the field on that drive with they had an interception opportunity. You then give up a touchdown on the first play, the third drive.
Yeah, what happened on that play?
Who catches a touchdown?
Gabe.
I didn't write this down.
Gabe Davis.
Oh no, I. Hold on.
Gabe
I'll
Davis.
Tell you what happened on that.
It was against. It was cover two.
By the way, it's after a 23-yard punt return. When you're playing the Bills, right. You can't lose on special teams. Too.
Right. Can't lose on teams.
It's a great route. He's running like that angle in corner, and the safety just squats on it way too long and doesn't run with him. It's literally just the safety's got to go make that play. You know they're going to take a shot. It's a big punt return. Your side of the field. The one I hated is the first third down of the fourth drive after you go for fourth and two. You get two run stops. You have them backed up. It's a third and seven. They run an option route on the right side. Well, I'm pretty sure it's St. Just is playing.
It was.
Sort of heads up.
Yeah, it was.
Well, he's got Montez Sweat dropping inside of him. He has inside help. He gets double stick and gets broke off and gives up an out route. It's definitely an option route. They're running a choice or an option route in that situation. The only place you can't get beat is outside. You have inside help. How are you getting beat outside? And I literally at that moment wrote on the top, like, Fuller's your slot, St. Juice is your outside corner, Emmanuel Brown's your other outside corner. I don't
Emmanuel
like Fuller
Forbes.
Outside.
Forbes.
I do like Fuller in the slot. I don't like St. Juice in the slot. I do like St. Juice outside. I think it's an easy situation. I don't know why it's not done. We talked about this last year too. Like, I think Fuller's a better slot. But that's St. Juice. Gives that up. You know, they get later to a third and eight on the fourth drive. And it's a two-man combination. I think it's Diggs that ends up catching like a corner or like an out route, like a 15-yard out route.
Right.
In third and eight.
Yeah.
Who's 12? Number 12 runs like a deep corner route. Literally, three guys on defense go deep. And nobody's covering underneath. Nobody. And it's St. Juice running with the corner route. And he's got corner and safety help over the top. He's the inside nickel guy. He's got two guys helping him over the top, and he just bails and runs with the go route or the vertical route.
Right.
And leaves
Diggs
wide open underneath deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Buffalo basically did what they wanted to do. I mean, they end up getting a couple stops to start the second half. And Fuller gets a pick. A good run stop on third and two, and then Payne bats a ball on a fourth down and gives him a chance there at 16-0. But it's like they tried everything. They tried bringing a five-man pressure. They tried multiple versions of zone coverage. Allen's really good, and they failed in coverage. And when you fail in coverage, he's going to find a way to get the ball to his guys. And if you try to put extra guys in coverage, he's going to run. And you just have to be more on the money when you're playing Allen. And you weren't. The thing is frustrating, and this is, I feel like we do this a lot of years. It's always like third and eight, third and nine, third and 10, third and 13. Why are we giving up first down?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And in that situation, you've invested everything into a D-line.
Right. No,
Payne,
I know.
Allen, Sweat, Young, get home. It's really not a havoc-wreaking, scare-you-to-death third-nine D-line. I don't know why it's not, but it isn't.
Part of me, when I watch football now, it's like I watch teams that I think are really good on defense, and it just just doesn't hold up forever. Especially when you're playing teams with elite quarterbacks.
You got to score.
Your best defense against elite quarterbacks is staying on the field on offense. It doesn't matter how good of a defense you have. Because you didn't change your mind about Sam Howell this week, and I didn't either. I mean, because I have last week to look back on. If I didn't have last week to look back on, then I'd be a little bit concerned right now after what I saw Sunday. Defensively, I believe in this defense. I think it's a really good defense. I want more takeaways. I want more havoc wreaking. And I think Duran's the one guy that's done that more than anybody else. But I also, with that, have this expectation that against the, you know, Josh Allen, which is this year on the schedule, the most elite quarterback they'll face. Now, Tua and the Dolphins, they're going to face later in the year. But I like, as good as their defense is, like if they were playing Miami this week, I just assume they're still going to give up 30 because offense beats defense in 2023. It's just a different game. All right. You did enough today. Great job. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Sure will, buddy. Thank you.
All right. We are done for the day. Back tomorrow with Tommy.
You mentioned last week that Cormani seeing the field was up to Cormani. I wonder if you could elaborate on what you want to see him do. Did he help his case?
Study, late, prepare.
Late against
Study, him? Prepare. Be on time for meetings. Show up to the darn meetings. Understand what we're doing as a scheme. Want to play this game. Desire to play this game. Desire to be the best in this game. At practice, in the film room, and on your own free time. You do know that I check film time for each player upon the week. Thursday, I need film time from the whole staff so I can see who's been preparing. And that's just not about Kamani. That's about a multitude of them. So if I don't see that you would be a fool to put somebody out there and they're unprepared. Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it. I'm old school. I'm sorry.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.